Welcome back to
Something
Ominous. This is your host, Jessica.
And I'm Karina.
And this is episode 20. And we bring you dolls.
We have our haunted doll episode for episode 20. So we have some good ones for you today.
We are going to go ahead and start because mine is pretty long.
All right. Also, we had to pray Psalm 91 before recording. So just setting the mood.
And if you start to feel dizzy, nauseous, chest pains, numbing around your face and arms, if you have pets and they start to act different, especially if you own a dog, or if you suddenly start to see flies in your house while listening to this episode, turn it off. No. I strongly suggest you stop the episode and take a break because I am covering Peggy the doll.
Peggy the doll.
Peggy the doll.
Wait, do I know her?
You probably do.
Okay, maybe once you start telling us about her.
These are some of the symptoms those who see her or just come across her start to feel. And, you know, while I was doing the research, how I was feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was feeling freaking weird. So I'm going to start off with what I was feeling just to kind of set the scene. And you were there for some of it. I've heard of her before. You know, I listened to like Two Girls, One Ghost covered her. And I think Creeps and Crimes did too. But all I remember is a heart attack. And that's it. Like that was all I remembered. So when I was doing the research, I came across the Travel Channel. I believe it was a Travel Channel. And they had an article that said, when you see the doll, it will haunt you. And then as I scroll, the first thing is a picture of the doll. And I was like, oh my God, I wasn't prepared for that. I wasn't ready. I was not ready. And then I'm like, okay, hold on. I'm going to just do a prayer. So I stop. I do a prayer. I ask for protection around the house. Like I was trying to cover everything. I was like, the house, put a bubble around my pets. Put a bubble around my parents, put a bubble around my entire family, put a bubble around anyone that's connected to me. Like literally, that's how far I was going with this prayer. And then I start to feel dizzy. And I was like, why am I feeling so dizzy? And I started feeling like if I was getting anxiety because I was having heart palpitations. I was like, what the heck? I know it has to be this. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop. I close my laptop. And deep down, I thought that it was just in my head. I was like, no, you're just tripping because you know it's her.
Yeah.
So after I closed the laptop, I still felt that way. And then I start praying and it just vanished. The minute I started to pray, it just went away. I was like, okay, that was weird. So then I go to bed and I wasn't scared after that. It didn't scare me. So then the next day I come to your house and we're trying to work on it and record and I couldn't because I ended up downloading the book and I didn't want to do that because I was like, I don't want to get the book. I don't want the book in my library. I ended up getting the book to do the research and I couldn't do it. I was reading the book and I was like, okay, you know what? Let's stop and do a prayer. We did the prayer. And then I kept telling her, I feel so dizzy, Karina. I feel dizzy. We go to the sofa. We're sitting down and I'm like, hey, can we go outside? Because I don't feel good. Then we go outside. And after I mentioned to you that if I was still feeling this way, we weren't going to record this episode until today.
Yeah.
And then it stopped. Because you notice after that, I didn't complain about anything. I started the research again, but I didn't ask for protection. And nothing happened.
Oh, so it's more like when you pray on it or when you ask for protection that you start feeling dizzy?
I don't know if it is because I was asking for protection, but then I thought it was weird that I didn't feel that way while working on it without protection. And then I was talking to our cousin and she's like, no, you should protect yourself because it's something really strong that you're researching. I was like, okay, fine. Let me stop doing the research and I'll protect myself. And then I did it and I didn't feel anything, but that was it.
Interesting. Well, we did ask for protection today.
Yeah, we did. We asked for protection because Karina hasn't experienced what I did.
Yeah, so I'm not trying. And I'm not trying.
A lot of the information I gathered from the book called Peggy the Doll, and it's written by Jane Harris. Jane Harris is the founder and lead investigator of Haunted Dolls Paranormal Research. In the morning of September 9th, 2014, Jane follows her usual morning routine, checking Facebook messages and emails. She has one unread email titled, Doll. To protect the writer's identity, Jane refers to her as JW in her book. JW is seeking help and she seems desperate. She says, please help me. I have reached a point now at which I can't carry on this way. JW explains that she's always believed in the paranormal and the idea of spirits around, but didn't know that they could affect the living the way she's being affected. It makes her feel crazy, she said. JW says, I have a doll here, which I'm sure is causing my house, maybe even me, to be haunted. She tells Jane that she doesn't have the doll in her house anymore. She's been losing sleep, going on her fifth day being awake. For the past couple of nights, she's been visited by a figure. The figure will stand at her bed. She describes it as being dark and believes it's a lady. The figure doesn't move or speak. When this happens, JW is frozen to the bed in fear. She's tried everything from putting a cross on her wall and prayers, but that didn't help. Jane doesn't include the entire email in her book, but she does sprinkle a few things here and there about what was in the email. She experienced footsteps in the landing right outside her bedroom. So like picture footsteps going up the stairs, stopping right outside your room.
And this is after seeing the figure.
This is in the middle of the night. These are things that she was experiencing while she had the doll. She lives alone, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I mentioned that. Which who was the footsteps? Who were the footsteps from?
Mm-hmm.
Then there was that figure at the end of the bed. She was waking up at 3 in the morning each time the figure would appear. She would also hear scratching sounds coming from within the walls. Something about this email intrigued Jane, and instead of following their regular investigative procedures, she acted fast. Without consulting with her husband, Simon, and their psychic medium, Hazel, she replied to JW asking for an address and said they'll be out later in the week. A few days later, Jane, Simon, and Hazel are on the road driving the 90 minutes to JW's house to pick up the doll. They felt tension in the air between the three of them, but in particular with Hazel. So she seemed very quiet in the car, and it's not uncommon for her to be like this because she usually likes to get in her zone to try to connect with the spirit world, but something seemed to be bothering her because she seemed uneasy, and Jane was able to recognize that unusual demeanor of hers. So what was going on with Hazel? Why was she acting different? This is Hazel's experience in the car. She remembers the drive being uncomfortable and felt trapped in time. When she asked her guides to surround her with light and protection, the face of a man appeared to her and whispered three words saying, "They won't help." Deep inside, she was shaken but didn't want to worry Jane or Simon. So she just sat, staring out the window in an attempt to distract herself. Hazel knew they were in for a challenge, and that gut feeling of hers was telling her to turn around and go home. After the 90-minute ride, they arrived to a modest home with pink roses outside. After a few knocks, a woman opens the door. She seemed to be physically, mentally, and emotionally drained. Jane noticed that JW wasn't lying or exaggerating when she said she hadn't had any sleep in days. JW was reluctant to let them in and didn't fully open the door. Instead, she stepped outside and led them to a small red brick shed. In the email, you know how JW mentioned that she didn't have the doll in the house? Well, she still had her in the property, but it was inside that shed. So they're standing outside the shed, and Hazel decides to go in first. She's inside for about 20 seconds. When she walks out, she felt nauseous and lightheaded. Hazel says she's fine, but she tells Jane that she would have to be the one to retrieve the doll from inside. When Jane walks into the shed, she's looking for like a dusty, regular porcelain-sized doll because at this time she didn't know how the doll looked. She doesn't see any dolls, but for whatever reason, she noticed something rolled up in a thick red blanket and picks it up carrying it outside. It's like if she knew that that's what she was there for. Mm-hmm. When she steps outside the shed, they say JW starts acting very different. They all notice how the doll was affecting her. She was exhaling loud, like if she was sick. Then she starts trembling, holding her hand over her mouth. For whatever reason, Simon decides to uncover the doll right in front of her. I don't know why he did this. Seeing her reaction, why the heck are you uncovering this doll that's clearly affecting JW? I don't know what was going through his head, honestly. Mm-hmm. So within this time, as he's uncovering the doll, Jane starts to feel weird. Her ears begin to ring, then buzzing. She said it felt like she was having a panic. She began to feel numb as the ringing increased. So Simon takes the doll to the car, and the team gather more information about the doll. Before heading out, they ask JW, "Shall I keep you updated?" Her response, "That doll nearly ruined my life. I want to forget it ever existed, and I hope God protects you all. They're now back home and have the doll in their research area. Their research area is in their home. So they're living with this doll. When they get new objects, they clear out space for them and run some baseline test. They want to make sure there's no electrical malfunction or whatever the case may be. So they pretty much test to make sure that whatever's going on is something they can explain or easily debunk. After that, they isolate the object in a sealed glass cabinet and set up a night vision camera, digital cameras, motion detectors, temperature gauges, EMF meters, trigger objects, and pretty much anything a paranormal investigator team would use. For some reason with the doll, it was different. They used an EMF and came back inconclusive. Nothing was clear on either night vision or audio recording. When that happens, they'll typically follow with the seance. They felt apprehensive with this one. They didn't want to attempt any kind of contact with the spirit that was in the doll. She was in a secured spot, isolated, and had other gadgets to keep her company for the first few months they had her. 6 weeks after they take the doll home, Jane began to suffer from debilitating fatigue. She was on her second week with migraines, nausea, and dizziness. They brushed it off as being the cause of a hectic lifestyle and their small children. Not feeling better, she went to 3 different doctors and they couldn't explain what was going on. Her blood work was normal and there were no signs of other illnesses. One day she remembers what JW described in her early days of having the doll and felt that she was pretty much going through the exact same thing JW was going through. So searching for other options, she reached out to a local medium and clairvoyant named Patricia Redman. She books an appointment under like a different name. She's going in disguise just in case Patricia searches for her or whatever. Mm-hmm. She didn't want her to know who booked the appointment. Jane heads to the appointment with the doll. She pulls into the parking lot and decides to leave the doll in the car since she didn't mention she would be arriving with an object. She wanted to see if Patricia would by any chance pick up the reason why Jane had that visit that day. They start talking, just kind of getting to know each other when Patricia tells her, "Your friends can come in too if you like." Jane's kind of like, "What the heck?" and asked, "What do you mean by that?" Patricia says, "Oh, I saw you arrive. Your friends might be cold sitting in the car. Just a thought." So Jane's like, I'm here alone. And at this point, Jane thinks that she must have gotten her confused with another vehicle. So Patricia asked, "You're in the black 4x4, aren't you?" Jane responds, "Yes, that's right, but..." Then Patricia interrupts and says, "Wasn't there a man and a woman with you when you pulled up?" "No one came with me, that I know of anyway," Jane replied. And in that moment, it seemed like Patricia knew what was going on and kind of figured out she saw a spirit instead of humans. She tells Jane that she's so sorry, but cannot do the reading for her that day. She has a terrible headache and the energy in the room was very heavy. So as she's like walking out of the room, Jane turns back around to look at Patricia before she leaves. And she says that Patricia had her head down, her eyes closed, and she was whispering words. Protection words. Yeah,
protecting herself.
Yeah, like what the fuck?
From what she saw.
Yeah, just crazy. I also kind of hate that she did that because I feel like you should let someone know, especially if you know you have something that heavy. But I guess like as a psychic medium, you want to see if this person is real. Like I get it because I feel like if we were to go to a psychic medium, we would also not tell them all these things because we want to know how real they are.
Yeah.
So Hazel had previously offered to take the doll for a few weeks just to test out the theory that the doll was causing Jane to feel this way. Hazel takes the doll and after 4 days, Jane starts to feel normal again. What a coincidence. Her appearance looked healthier. She could now concentrate. She felt like her energy was being drained. What Jane was going through was a psychic attack. After 3 weeks of improvement, Jane felt better and took the doll back home. Before doing so, Hazel put a protection around Jane and her family to prevent another attack. This was only the beginning of the haunting caused by the doll. It wasn't uncommon for the paranormal group to update their social media following cases they were working on. They'd share pictures, provide evidence, and discuss theories of the paranormal. Because of the experiences they'd had with the doll, they didn't want to risk it and held back from sharing anything about her. The public didn't know the doll existed. The arrival of the doll put a wedge between Simon and Jane's relationship. They didn't spend much time together, and they also didn't want to be in the house much at all. It's like they felt something was so heavy and unsettling, and it just made the house feel very unhappy. They start warming up to the idea of seances with the doll and perform a few with Hazel where they discover the doll's name. Up until this point, they didn't know her name, and they just referred to her as the doll. They find out her name is Peggy. Not that they didn't trust Hazel, but they did go to another psychic medium named Chris, who doesn't know Hazel, and he also confirmed that her name was Peggy. On February 25th, 2015, something within them changed and they felt that it was time to share the doll on social media. They took a picture of her and posted on Facebook. It was an innocent picture. She looked sweet. Nothing scary, honestly. She's wearing like a white or blue, light blue dress, and she even has a cross.
What kind of doll is she?
She's a plastic doll. I don't think she's porcelain. Okay. I'm not going to lie. I didn't like stare at the picture. I didn't. Yeah. I will after this, though. Not after this, but like maybe tomorrow. But I didn't sit there and investigate.
So it's just like a regular plastic doll.
3 feet tall doll.
No, it's pretty tall.
Yeah, I think it's one of those. You remember like My Size Barbie or My Size. You remember those? What were they called? I think it's called My Size Barbie or My Size Doll. It's 3 feet tall. Mm-hmm. Like a kid. Prior to posting the doll, they would receive around 12 messages a month. In the first 24 hours of posting the doll, they received 60 messages all about the doll. Some of the emails described having migraines and palpitations since seeing the picture. Others described getting asthma after they saw the doll. One email described their dog having a strange reaction. They ask if dogs and cats can sense evil because since opening the photo of the doll, their dog has been snarling and growling at the screen. Another dog owner said her dog started going crazy, spinning in circles, barking, and when she turned off the screen, he would stop. She'd switch it back on, and he would start again. Then the dog went into hiding and was trembling.
What the heck? Just from a picture?
Just from a picture. The one email that scared me the most was one that described feeling someone watching them in their home.
No, I hate that.
Yeah, dude, me too. I hate that. I picture this person sitting down and someone over them. You know how whenever you're sitting down and you feel someone standing behind you?
Yeah.
That's what I picture when I read this email. So they said they would feel someone watching them, and then they heard someone say, shh, as their computer monitor started to flicker right when the image of the doll was up. In the picture, you can see that Peggy's wearing a cross. And almost half of the people commenting on the image suggested for them to remove the cross. Some claimed to hear a voice telling them that the spirit hated the symbol of the cross. Others had dreams that the sign of the cross would provoke a negative reaction.
Wait, so people were telling them to remove the cross?
Yeah.
Because the spirit doesn't want.
Yes. So people were having images. They were getting like images. Some people were, there was one that said, I think they were having a dream that the spirit was telling them, like, tell them to remove the cross.
Oh, like that doesn't belong there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. She says, I think it's like a total of 26 comments. Because at this time, they didn't have a huge following. They had a good amount of following, but it wasn't like they do now, you know? Mm-hmm. So Jane and Hazel schedule an automatic session with Peggy. Do you know what automatic writing is?
No.
Okay, so it's when someone acts as a conduit and enters into a trance so the spirit can communicate through writing.
Oh, okay, okay.
The date was scheduled for March 16th. On that day, Jane films a short clip explaining to their followers what they were about to do. She said she's not sure why she did it, but she had this sudden urge to do it. On the video, you could see Jane driving and Peggy sitting in the back seat looking cute. She actually does look cute. I'm not going to lie. She's like sitting down and she's just like literally smiling because it's not an ugly doll. It's a cute doll. So just sitting in the back smiling, and Jane is recording, telling them, like, I'm on my way to do an automatic writing. So she posts the video, and by the time she arrives to Hazel's house, she has a Facebook message from a woman named Catherine Reddick. Catherine tells Jane, her heart is racing so fast. She's feeling dizzy and in pain. She also said that after seeing her post, it vanished and her phone started acting crazy. Jane tells Catherine that Peggy has been affecting people currently, and they're trying to get to the bottom of it. She advised Catherine to just take a break from the computer and rest. Like,
well then,
like, hey, look, I know, chill, just chill. Jane locks her phone and puts it away, and they start the automatic writing session. Before Hazel enters her trance, she mentioned to Jane that she felt something was going to happen. Her words were, we're provoking something today, I think. I just feel like something's about to happen. The automatic session lasted about an hour. During the hour, they did experience some unexplainable things, and they were able to gather some words to put together, but nothing too provoking happened. The next day, they find out that Catherine suffered a heart attack the hour they were having the session.
No.
Yeah. But she does survive. She does survive. Okay, they now seek help from a spiritualist church by conducting a group gathering. So think of it like a seance. Mm-hmm. The gathering included Jane Harris, Simon Harris, Hazel Myers, Donna Griffith, and Martin Jenkins, who's the pastor of the church. They sit Peggy on a chair. On one side, she had an EMF monitor, and on the other side, a temperature meter. They note the temperature in the room at 18 degrees before they start gathering. The pastor does a blessing, and Hazel leads the seance. She said if Peggy was present, she should join. After 2 minutes, they see a red flickering light coming from the EMF reader. Hazel says she sees a woman standing by the altar close to the doll, shaking her head as if saying no. No one else can see her. Simon then reports feeling colder. The temperature drops to 16 degrees. Hazel asks Peggy to communicate her wishes through the pendulum. And I think what they were doing is they had like a board, kind of like the Ouija board with letters. Mm-hmm. So when they asked a question, the pendulum would move to each letter. And then Donna, who was one of the ones that was there, would write down the letter to see what the answer was. While Hazel's holding the pendulum, it violently swings towards Jane, and you can see an orange light coming from the EMF meter. Donna reports hearing a faint laughter, but no one else hears this. Hazel asks Peggy if this was her, and the pendulum clearly goes to yes. So these are the questions and answers Hazel asked Peggy during the gathering. Do you fear crossing over into the light? No fear. Next. Are you happy to be communicating with us? Happy. More. Peggy, were you responsible for a recent health problem? No. Are you aware of the lady we mean, Catherine? Yes. Weak. What do you mean, Peggy? Take care. Heart. Help. Were you trying to help? Yes. Do you feel you have a purpose here? Yes, I know. What do you know, Peggy? Too much for me. Hazel then asked Peggy to step forward and make herself known. In that moment, Pastor Martin and Jane both feel very cold and the temperature drops to 8 degrees. Jane says she can see her now. Hazel later confirms that that was Peggy. They then hear a faint tapping sound on the window on the opposite side of the room. Hazel no longer sees Peggy and tells the team that the apparition of Peggy vanished. They all remain holding hands in an attempt to contact Peggy again. This time, Simon says he feels someone's hand on his shoulder. And after 15 minutes go by with no answers from Peggy, the pendulum slowly starts to move to the following letters spelling out Lindy Harry Green Starsoon. Pastor Martin asked, "Can you be clear, Peggy? Is this a warning?" "Yes." Then Jane asked, "Peggy, do you need help to move on?" "No, tell them." "Tell them what?" "All." And that's where they lose connection with Peggy. The temperature in the room goes back to normal and the session ends. So far we know Peggy has caused a heart attack, dizziness, headaches, and feeling nauseous. Humans are not her only target though. From past emails, they believe she has a hate towards our fur babies, specifically affecting dogs more than cats.
Oh,
I know. She's believed to be linked to the death of a dog in Arizona. I know, and I was so nervous when I was doing this research.
Yeah.
I was like, my poor Sophie. I swear I kept looking over. Every time I was reading, typing, I'd look over.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing good?
She didn't show any, like...
She was more distant. Uh-huh. She wasn't as close to me as she... Yeah. Typically was. She'd be far away or she'd be laying on the floor.
She's like, hell no.
Yeah, she's like, I feel something weird. I will say my cats were a lot more close to me. Like, mm-hmm. Gandhi specifically, she mm-hmm. kept rubbing herself on the computer and the tablet. Mm. I'm like, girl, I need to work with these. Like, this is what I'm using to work. And she's just like rubbing herself. And then the kitty kept doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The third cat just doesn't give a fuck. I don't know.
Yeah.
I did put a protection over them, too. I made sure I said, like, put a bubble mm-hmm. around them and protect each one of them. I even did my outdoor cats.
Wow.
And the dog that I'm taking care of. A follower of Haunted Doll Paranormal said that she was watching a video of Peggy with her dog sitting next to her. And after she finished the video, maybe like 10 to 15 minutes, her dog started to have a seizure. She took her dog to the vet and they couldn't find the cause of the seizure. She went back home and everything was normal until she watched the video again. Almost immediately, her dog started to have a seizure again. That's when it clicked to her and she realized that Peggy could be causing her dog to have a seizure. Both seizures happened after watching the video. She said her dog passed away since and believes her death was connected to Peggy. It's not known, or at least it wasn't clear, if she passed after the second seizure or if she had health problems after the seizures and then she passed.
Yeah.
That's all there was in the book.
But either way, it was kind of caused by the seizure.
Yeah. And there are so many stories of pets in the book. Another one that sent an email asked Peggy to visit her in her dreams. In her dream, her and her boyfriend sat down at the dining room table. He asked her, "If there's a demon, how do you get it to go away?" And she responded in her dream, "Start saying, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over myself and this home." She looks out the window and sees what she described as a weird female, demented demon creature in a human form standing in her neighbor's yard right across the street from her window. She points it out to her boyfriend saying, "Do you see that demon?" Then it appears next to their window. She tries to run, but it's hard for her to run. She wakes up. So we're now in real life. Mm-hmm. And in real life, something was wrong with her dog. They take the dog to the vet. The vet tells them, "It's good you brought your dog when you did. If not, she would have died." So I'm assuming when she was having that dream of the demon, it was attacking the dog.
But also, why would she ask to have a dream?
I don't know.
I mean, at that point, you're kind of like, you're asking for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, a lot of these people are into the paranormal. Yeah. Like, we're into it, like, but we're not. Yes. Yes. So these are like hardcore, like, oh, they'll see the dog and they're like, "Oh my God, I want to see what happens." Like, they're intrigued. So I guess, honestly, she probably didn't even think that anything would happen to the dog. Yeah. With all these experiences, Haunted Doll Paranormal decides to pull back on their social media and they stop giving updates on Peggy's investigation immediately. They were receiving an overwhelming amount of emails reporting illnesses and disturbing experiences after reading and seeing the doll online. But later, Jane does something crazy. She gathers some questions sent from her followers, sets the scene, and sat Peggy in front of her. Oh, she lit candles around them and starts to record on a camera.
Girl.
I know. She's asking Peggy questions, and the EMF would respond to some of these questions. Then Peggy falls and knocks the camera over. She reviewed the footage at 3 times the speed, only to notice that Peggy was slowly moving, little by little, away from her. It wasn't obvious prior to her falling and knocking the camera over. She didn't know this was going on until she reviewed the footage. Mm-hmm. The clip was then shared on YouTube. I don't know why, but it was. And in my head, I'm like, girl, you closed your Facebook group, but then you're going to post it on YouTube. And I feel like she didn't think it was going to reach a wider audience. Well, she was wrong. Unexplained Mysteries stumbles upon the video and shares it on their website, then the Daily Mail. And now the world knows about Peggy. On October 23rd, 2015, they do a charity event and conduct another seance. They decide to do it at Derby Jail, which is a haunted prison in England. I was thinking, why? You're contradicting yourself. But people that bought tickets knew what was coming, and it was only for a specific amount of people. You weren't able to see it online or nothing. During the session, a woman felt a burning sensation between her legs and had an image of a woman being raped. After the vision, she felt butterflies in her stomach. She then asked Peggy if she could touch her, and the answer through the board was no. Then get out. She felt as if there were two different spirits within Peggy, a good one and an evil one. In another room, they had a group of people watching the seance through the CCTV. Everyone in the group saw a shadow to the left of Peggy where no one was standing. They tried to debunk it, but couldn't explain where that shadow came from. So it could have been a ghost from the jail, or it could have been whoever is with Peggy. Zach Bagans enters the picture. He comes across Peggy from the Daily Mail article. He was intrigued by the experience others were having, and they reach out to Jane and tell her about a new show that they're filming called Deadly Possessions. They wanted to feature Peggy. Now, Peggy's in the UK, Saks Museum is in Vegas. This means they have to fly with Peggy, and this made Jane and Simon nervous. They didn't know what would happen with Peggy up in the air with more than 100 people in the plane. Imagine being in that plane.
Yeah.
So what do? They ship it ahead through someone else. So imagine that person flying, not knowing like you have a haunted doll in your plane. They also wanted to take Catherine, the woman who suffered a heart attack.
They wanted to take her to Vegas with them?
Yeah. Okay. Zach wanted to take Catherine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Zach was like, okay, we also want Catherine in the show. Mm-hmm. So they all arrived to Vegas and head to the location of filming with Peggy. When Jane gets out of the car, she said that she was handed a black bag to place over Peggy's face. It was Zach's request. He's also very terrified of dolls, which is kind of crazy to me that he wanted to meet Peggy. During filming, Zach is noticeably uncomfortable around Peggy. Now, Peggy, at this time, was still wearing the bag over her head. As they're in the middle of filming, Zach made a suggestion saying that Peggy may not like the attention. Then flies start coming out of nowhere, mostly landing on Zach as they tried to speak. They had to take a break from filming because the flies were getting intense and was affecting filming. Now, I've also read that flies follow possessions. I don't know if you've read that.
It sounds kind of familiar, but I don't remember if I watched it like in a movie. The Exorcist. Oh, okay. That's what it was.
The new one. She's laying down and just keep flying and she kept like slapping her face.
Yeah, when she's in the... Yes.
Zach suggests they remove the bag from Peggy's face when they resume recording. At that moment, the camera facing Peggy shuts off while all the other cameras were still working. Zach took this as a sign that Peggy didn't want to be shown. He then finally asked to have the bag removed, but to make sure her head is not facing him. And I was getting so freaking annoyed by Zach because I know he kind of goes overboard with things, but I did not like the way he was treating Peggy. And then the interaction he had with Jane and Catherine was also kind of awkward, according to the book. I mean, she kind of does say that it was kind of weird. So Jane wasn't made aware that the seance was going to be conducted during the show. And Catherine also wasn't made aware that she'd be facing Peggy face to face and be part of the seance.
Oh.
So in Jane's eyes, she thought she was just going to go and talk about the doll, show the doll, and then like, surprise, we're doing a seance. Mm-hmm. And then Catherine, I don't know what she was expecting because I don't know her point of view. But Jane says that it looked like she was caught off guard when she saw the doll.
Oh, it was like they were set up.
Yeah. These are a few things they experienced during the seance. The presence of someone, flickering of the candle flames. They heard an old vintage typewriter behind Peggy clicking as if someone was trying to type something. Jane and Catherine felt their chairs rocking, like if a dog passed underneath their chair and moved it. Patty, one of the psychic mediums, felt a very strong energy, a female energy, but also a male's energy, like Patricia. Yeah. Oh. Remember that psychic medium in the beginning? She described the male as a dark presence and said that she also felt like her airways were being constricted as if someone wanted her to stop speaking. They ended the seance and left Patty, Catherine, and Peggy in the room together so Catherine and Peggy could have some closure. It seemed like they did because Catherine was hugging Peggy before leaving and had a huge smile on her face.
What?
Yeah. So now they're back in England. A woman named Olivia Taylor suffers a sudden lack of oxygen to the brain one night when she was conducting a vigil with Peggy alone in her hotel room. After Peggy's episode aired on Deadly Possessions, a lot of people came forward and posted their strange encounters. Some say their family members suffered an aneurysm and were hospitalized during the seance scene. Others experienced pressure in their head and dizziness. Catherine, who made peace with Peggy, watched the episode when it aired and suffers a fucking stroke. It's like Peggy has some beef with her, and we don't know why.
Wow, but didn't they hug it out?
But she has beef with her, and they don't know why. She did survive, but lost a lot of mobility on her right arm. Does Jane really feel bad? I don't know, because Jane goes to another TV show to talk about Peggy. They put a picture of Peggy on a big screen. Then they see it, a fly, flying around the TV host. So at this point, I think Jane and Simon are kind of like, oh, man, there's a lot of weird stuff going around. We want to protect the family. And they were worrying about their kids. And they were thinking that they're possibly doing something with Peggy and they weren't careful enough. And she may want to retaliate in the future. Peggy was also consuming their life. With time to process, she hands the doll over to Zach Bagans after he contacted Jane to purchase the doll. He promised that Peggy would be treated differently and have her own room in the museum. Jane does frequently visit Peggy. Peggy is now with her new father, as Zach likes to refer himself. Jane said that her departure was sad, and I mean, I could imagine Peggy pretty much put her out to the world. She still talks to Zach, and they talk of any new experiences people have when they visit the museum. And for some reason, I got kind of emotional around this part, and I felt so sad. I felt like, you know, when you have to rehome a pet or you're fostering and you have to send them either to their new family. That's literally what I felt. Like she was fostered and then was sent to like her forever home. I'm not gonna lie, my eyes got watery in that part. There are plenty more of experiences in the book Peggy the Doll, which I strongly recommend you read. But I am going to end it with a few experiences that were reported. One woman went online to see Peggy and suddenly felt tightening in her chest and pressure like she couldn't breathe. She then felt a sharp pain, and when she looked at her chest, she had been scratched. Another woman reports her sister having a bite mark after watching the episode with Zach Bagans and Peggy the Doll. She said her and her sister were watching the episode when out of nowhere, they all see a bite mark appear on her sister's arm. They pulled out the Ouija board and asked who bit her, and the board spelled out Peggy. After that, her board went crazy and the planchette was going around in circles. The sister says that since getting the bite mark, she's been having flu-like symptoms, a headache, and struggling to lift her head. The end.
So I guess, did they ever discover if it's a ghost in her? If she's, I mean, as far as like possessed by a ghost, is it a demon? Is it... So, or they just know it's like a man and a woman.
They know that the woman is a good spirit. They know that whoever is causing all the bad stuff is the male. That's the dark presence that she has.
Okay.
So they do know that for a fact. And that's why in the book, Jane doesn't want to refer to her as evil because technically she's not. It just depends who takes over at what time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what they were saying. Like during the seance at the church, the female was mm-hmm. present. From what I gathered, whenever they were having seances outside of the church or like in a haunted location, it was the dark spirit peeking through.
Okay. Damn, that's crazy. I'm still in shock that like even just by seeing her picture, like the dogs that were growling at the screen.
Yeah.
Like what did they see in the phone? You know what I mean? I'm just trying to imagine like what would they see or like I guess the feeling they got like whenever the, you know, their owner would turn on the phone.
A lot of dogs do tend to react, but I don't know. I'm sure there's something that flows through the image.
Yeah.
And they're able to see because they're very sensitive. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say right now that I'm lucky Sophie didn't respond. Mm-hmm. Like I'm so lucky she didn't have a reaction. I would say the only reaction she was having was just being a little bit more distant.
Right.
But other than that, she was pretty fine. I want to say it's the cats that's protecting us.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's a full chapter of testimonials. And I was like, I'm just going to pick out the scariest ones that I can glance through.
I should get a cat. Like a hypoallergenic cat.
All right.
All right. Well.
Because Karina's falling asleep over here with my story.
No, I wasn't. I was just. Don't say that. I wasn't falling asleep. I have dry eyes. Okay. Okay. Well, here's my baby shark version of Robert the Doll. Little Miss Rachel version. I'm just saying it's a much milder version. It's not intense.
I could have sworn Robert the Doll was scary.
No, he's scary.
Okay.
But it's not like...
It doesn't affect people.
It doesn't give heart attacks.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, he could.
Oh.
Okay. This doll was actually the inspiration to the 1988 movie Child's Play that featured the very famous doll we all know today as Chucky. His real name is Robert the Doll, but he doesn't look like Chucky at all. He's a life-sized little boy doll in a sailor costume. He's made of fabric and stuffed with straw. He's also covered in little nicks. So you know like when you have a foam mattress and you kind of start picking it out and it leaves like little holes? Mm-hmm. So whenever I saw his face, that's kind of what it looks like. Like it's been picked out or just worn out. I don't know.
Yeah.
And in his right hand, he holds his own stuffed puppy, which I will say the puppy's actually kind of cute. It's just like a normal little puppy and it has a little tongue out. But let's talk about where Robert came from and how he got his fame. He dates back to the early 1900s. He was given as a gift to Eugene Robert Otto, who fell in love with the doll as soon as he received him. So there's different versions of who gave the doll to Eugene. The more common version is that Eugene's grandfather brought it to him from Germany. Another version is that one of the family servants who practiced voodoo and held a grudge against the family had given it to him. But either way, Eugene was given the doll and he loved him so much he named the doll after his middle name, Robert. And fun fact, his original outfit was not a sailor suit. The sailor suit is actually one of Eugene's outfits. Also, no one knows how they even got access to this doll because it was a one-of-a-kind doll that was meant to be for display only. It was made by the Stife company that actually made the very first original teddy bear.
So maybe his grandfather did give him the doll or get him the doll.
Yeah.
Because I feel like most of the stories I've heard of Robert the Doll mm-hmm. talk about the employee giving it to him as voodoo. Like the Yeah. So it makes more sense that the grandfather mm-hmm. got the doll somehow if it's a one of a kind.
Yeah.
I don't think a servant would hold something that's one of a kind, especially back in the days.
Okay, yeah, gotcha.
You know what I mean?
There was another article that kind of combined it and said the grandpa brought it to him from Germany and a family servant cursed the doll.
Oh, I could believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was something like that. So that was another one where it was like more of a combined of both. Some of them just said like the family sermon. Another one said the grandfather, but one of them kind of combined it. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense too.
That makes sense too. Yeah.
So it wasn't long before Eugene's parents started noticing weird things happening. Eugene treated this doll as if he were real. They would often hear him having conversations with the doll in his room. And at times they would hear a deep voice reply back.
I know,
dude, if I ever heard that. One night when Eugene was about 10 years old, he woke up to find Robert sitting on his bed staring at him.
Ooh, I got chills. Oh, my God.
Moments later, the family woke up to hearing Eugene cry for help and heard loud banging in his room, along with what sounded like furniture being thrown around. When his parents rushed in, they found Eugene crouched in the corner crying and Robert sitting at the foot of the bed. And Eugene said the words, "Robert did it." After this incident, things just got worse. The family would hear Robert running up the stairs, giggling and walking around the house. In one instance, a man who was passing by approached the house and told the family that he clearly saw their doll walking from one window to another inside the house.
Dude, that's...
Oh, dude, I just got chills reading that, even though I wrote it. Oh,
yeah, no, that is creepy. That's one of my biggest fears when I see houses with the little window at the top. I'm always so scared to look up. Like, what if someone's looking out? I see some little face or something. Oh,
especially a freaking doll. Oh, no. Walking around. Mm-mm. But Robert remained in this house throughout Eugene's life. And even after Eugene moved out, he went on to become a celebrated artist and studied art in different cities in the U.S. He married his wife, Annette. And when Eugene's parents passed away, he came back to live in his childhood home with his wife and Robert. The moment his wife met Robert, she felt uneasy. She asked Eugene to take Robert to the attic, but Robert would always reappear in the upstairs bedroom, sitting in a chair that faces the street. Eugene even furnished the attic and placed toys in there. He would lock up the room, but somehow Robert always managed to get out. Visitors said that they would often hear footsteps and giggling in the attic when they would come over. Also, many people would even avoid walking past the house so they wouldn't see Robert at the window. A lot of passerbyers felt uneasy looking at him and would swear that they would see him disappear from one moment to another. So kind of what you were saying, that you don't even want to look in the window. So people, I guess, started knowing the house for that because Robert was always sitting by the window. So people would avoid the house altogether because they didn't want to make like direct eye contact, I feel like, or even, I don't know, see him move or whatever he was doing.
Yeah. Isn't there also a picture of him in a rocking chair facing the window?
Yeah.
I feel like that's a picture that I've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
That is not okay.
I know.
I mean, the picture's okay, but that is not okay that they're like...
No, but it's like that's where he wanted to be.
Yeah.
And like even if they would move him, he would go back to his spot.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I'm a people watcher.
Yeah.
So I get it. Like that'd be me in a couple of years sitting outside. Or sitting out the window, just watching.
Just like scaring the shit out of kids.
Yeah.
After some years, Eugene passed away and his wife sold the house to the new owner, Myrtle Reuter. Myrtle would hear strange noises and steps coming from the attic. When she went to check it out, who did she find? Robert. Surprisingly, she wasn't scared of the doll. She actually ended up keeping him for 20 years, but decided to donate him to the Fort East Martello Museum, claiming the doll was haunted. That's one thing that I keep thinking about is how long Robert was with these families.
Yeah.
Like he was given to Eugene when he was like 10 and then lived with him throughout his life, like even with the parents while Eugene had moved out and came back until Eugene passed away. Then 20 years with Myrtle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like if this was like our doll, like, he would have been
gone a long time ago.
Yeah. Like,
but not
holy water, everything. But they were just like, I don't know. They were just used to it, right?
Yeah, no. I think my mom would, I mean, hello, we had porcelain dolls. And I was like, I don't like those dolls. They didn't do anything to me. They just creeped me out.
No.
Got rid of them. So imagine Furbies.
Oh my God. I was obsessed with Furby. I even had a Furby that would have a baby.
You told me about that. I don't remember that. I remember Furbies. And I remember at night, my dad would tell me that I needed to get rid of it or take out the batteries because it would talk. So you had to like feed it or put your finger or something.
Yeah.
Mine would talk at night because I was like really bad, I guess. I wasn't feeding my child.
Uh-huh.
So even those, they got rid of it. They're like, no queremos estos. Yeah, because they wouldn't shut up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know, we got rid of them. I know we could have taken out the battery, but I think they were just kind of like, we're getting rid of these.
Yeah.
So if it was a haunted doll, it would have been long gone.
Yeah, for sure. The museum took Robert in, not thinking much of it at first, but it wasn't long before Robert began his mischief. Soon after Robert moved in, cameras and electronics started to malfunction, and the staff began hearing the same strange noises as the previous owners had. Robert was placed in a glass case and quickly gained fame as the haunted doll of Key West. Even though he was in a glass case, many visitors of the museum claimed to be haunted by Robert. Apparently, it's not allowed to take pictures of him, and those who do end up with bad luck. There's even apology letters from all over the world placed around Robert of people who have had misfortunes and are asking for forgiveness. So I read that the museum receives letters every day.
Mm-hmm.
Some people even send in money, candy, and like favors from Robert. Other people are apologizing. Other people are like, I mean, I wouldn't say like love letters, but just like appreciating Robert.
Mm-hmm.
He has like his own social media page and everything.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah. In one Reddit post by RomsK4V, she talked about her visit to Robert and said that the lady that was giving them a tour of the museum said, "Some people weakly disrespect the doll and it ends up with them sending a letter of apology to Robert at the museum so that he will stop the mischief." She adds that there is a video of a man hitting Robert's glass. This man died later that day in a road accident.
Stop.
Mm-hmm. The user then said that she asked Robert if she could take a picture of him and then proceeded to take the picture and post it on her Snapchat. The next day, and I quote, "We go back to our car and we are shocked to find it in a really abnormal state. All the windows are broken except for the front one. There is glass inside our car as much as outside, meaning that the windows exploded and were not smashed from the outside. And more disturbing, our suitcases are intact. My headphones that were on the back seat are still in the same place as they were when I left them."
So then how do you know when, I guess you won't know if Robert okays the picture?
I think you're just not allowed to take a picture.
Yeah, he doesn't.
But
like
people
them.
Still take pictures of him. And then he gets angry because this girl said that she asked him like, "Oh, is it OK if I take a picture of you?" And then she took it.
But then posted it
and then
all
posted
over.
It. Yeah.
So maybe I wonder what would have happened if she just taken the picture mm-hmm. and kept it to herself.
Yeah. And I wonder if they probably like made fun of him, too. You know, like maybe the friends replied maybe he didn't like that. And he was like, "OK, you're not making fun of me or you're not posting me for your friends or something."
Yeah.
I don't know. But if something says like, "Do not take a picture of this doll," I'm not. And I see apology letters around him.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I wouldn't even act like, "Ay, no, qué miedo." I wouldn't even do that. I'd be on my best behavior. I'd be like, look at the doll. Oh,
this is so interesting. Vintage. Wow. Look at his outfit. A comment on that post by user JMad said that he went to visit Robert with his brother and his sister-in-law. He didn't take a picture, but his brother made a joke about the rank pin that Robert had on his sailor suit. He said that after they left, his sister-in-law received a call that their house was having septic issues. After she hung up, she got another phone call that the tenant, I'm assuming the person that rents a house from them, was also having septic issues. So like two separate houses that belongs to them were having the same issues at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that about a week later, the user's job was shutting down and he lost his job. Yeah. All for making fun of like something on his sailor suit.
Dude, and septic issues are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And you lost
and
your
you
job.
And you lost your job. So.
Respect.
I know.
Respect the paranormal. I know people don't believe in it. Yeah. And I know a lot of people are like, "Do you really believe in that stuff?" I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Respect it. You could say you don't believe it, but when you go to a haunted location or a haunted museum, respect whatever is in there.
Yeah.
Because you may not believe, but when you go home, something's going to happen.
Yeah. Like it follows you.
Yeah. And even then, they won't believe. Like deep down, they'll tell themselves, "No, it's just a coincidence."
Yeah. So, in conclusion, be nice to Robert.
Yes. Just be nice to just be anything nice. Just be nice that's haunted.
All of them.
Okay? Paranormal.
Let's just be nice. Well, that concludes our haunted doll episode.
We really hope you enjoyed episode 20, and we will see what we come out with episode 30.
I know. Dude, this one scared me a little bit. Like, I kind of have, like, como que cosa, you know? Like,
yeah.
I feel like I need to go, like.
You do seem a little bit more reserved. It's probably the episode.
I feel like we should end this with another Psalm 91.
Yeah, we should. Well, don't forget to follow us on social media. TikTok is Something Ominous. Instagram, Something Ominous Podcast. YouTube, Something Ominous. And if you love our podcast, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating.
And please send your stories to our Gmail, somethingominouspod@gmail.com.
Thank you all for listening. Bye.
Bye.